Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered and not have to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
I think Leroy needs something.
You know, between Leroy...
Okay, guys, I'll run in first so we can keep them scattered and not have to fight too many. We'll be in trouble if we don't take them down quick.
Oh my God, he just ran in.
Good morning. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Finally. You know what? Because we didn't get it at the beginning. Okay. Are we awake now? Are we awake? Are we ready to do this?
We might be. I'm not for certain, but I think so. Maybe.
I'm real sorry. You that I made spill your coffee on you. I'm real sorry. All right. GLaDOS had taken over the board. Her and Leroy were conspiring, so I could not control that song. It was just going to go on forever. Yes, Leroy Jenkins and GLaDOS have... They're dating now, that's what I hear anyway. I don't know.
Very nice. Very nice.
So how you guys doing out there? JoJo, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I'm tired. I'm tired as all kinds of get out. And you people out there in the gamer world are strange. Strange people.
Strange is putting it nicely.
Yes, yes, yes. Very strange. But I love y'all, so, you know, it kind of works out.
All right, we got some news coming.
We got news? No, we don't have news.
I am trying to get this up, but I keep running into Colombiana trailers. I don't know what that's about. Which I do want to see, mind you. I'll probably see over the weekend, maybe next week.
Is that a movie?
Colombiana? Ginger. Ginger's bad.
I am bad.
Colombiana's our newest, latest action, female action star, played by Miss Zoe Saldana. And she's on our list. You didn't see the list I put up? Top five badass.
Yeah, movies. I did see that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's on the list. So I plan on going to see that. I don't care who don't like it, because there's a whole bunch of rigmarole going on the internet about, stupid movie. You know what? Guys, we sat through enough Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, which were horrible.
Oh, my God. I know.
You owe us a few. I don't care.
I hear he's looking at making more movies again.
And they'll go see it, and they'll be like, it's the greatest thing ever. But
no, it's not. No, it's not.
I love specifically the commentary that I saw on her page. She's only like 90 pounds. 90-pound women can't fight. Try telling that to Michelle Yeoh.
No kidding. 90-pound women, the smaller they are, the more they're going to hurt you.
F you up.
I do. I stop and rethink about what I was going to say.
Because that's straight bone hitting you. That's not flesh. Mm-hmm. That hurts. Michelle Yeoh goes toe-to-toe with Jackie Chan and any other Asian action star. So, and she is way less than 90 pounds, I believe. So, yeah, a 90-pound woman can do damage to you. Don't believe it.
Yes. They will tear you up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. But anyway, so what I was actually looking for you guys, and this was not supposed to be my first story. Ginger, why you let me talk? You know I'm crazy today.
You are crazy today, but you go ahead with your story. I'll jump in on my juicy bit of gossip.
Oh, she's got juicy gossip. Well, this is not gossip. However, remember we told you guys a couple of weeks ago that the Unreal people were giving you a free version of their software? Mm-hmm. And a lot of you out there were all excited like I was. I went to go try to download it. Well, I didn't get to download it. It didn't work for me, but mainly because I was busy. I didn't pay attention. But guess what? If you're still reluctant to download it, you can take a look at a video that I'm posted up on our site. It's actually up now in the trailers section down bottom right. If you want to take a look and see what it looks like. And then I'm also putting up a link. Go ahead and download it. They've also got a list of updates that they've just done just today. udk.com/news/beta-August2, 2011. Remember, that's up on the site. Don't panic. So go and check that out if you like it. It is awesome looking.
Very nice. Very nice.
Big pretty screenshot there, the Tanaka Corporation. And it's the screenshot is that they built the Tanaka Corporation as an architectural visualization. And it is so realistic, I didn't know it was a screenshot.
Yeah. I'm going to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Check it out. Go.
GayPolitics.com this morning, so I love you guys. All right, so we've all heard about Dust, right? And how, okay, so anyways, we're just going to this. Steam gives refunds to Dust, or to From Dust customers. All right, customers disgusted over Ubisoft's bait and switch relating to the DRM and the PC version of From Dust are authorizing Steam to give its customers refunds. The decision to give people back their money for the game came after the company flip-flopped on DRM inclusion in From Dust. Earlier this month, the company spokesperson claimed that the game would not contain any kind of DRM. Recently, it was revealed upon the release that From Dust did, in fact, contain DRM. Fans already sick of Ubisoft's always-on DRM scheme and other Ubisoft games were vocal in their discomfort with the company. Rock, Paper, Shotgun readers report that they have received emails from Steam support that say the following. If you don't want to wait for the patch or if you haven't played the game per Ubisoft's request, we will issue refunds for this title. It didn't help that the PC port of the XBLA title also had plenty of technical issues and some bugs that made playing the game a hassle. You know, Ubisoft, y'all suck. Y'all keep releasing crap.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment.
I will. Ubisoft, you stink.
I'm trying to behave. You're not helping me. Well, we forgot to tell you this yesterday. As much as we talk about our lovely Second Life, we forgot to tell you. Wait a minute. Were you done, woman? Because
yes.
I was jumping all in. All right. So yesterday, or you've been hearing us talk about mesh. Well, those of you who know what it is will be happy to know that as of yesterday, the mesh technology is available grid-wide in Second Life.
Yay! I've been seeing clothes for it. I'm sorry, all the clothes that I've seen for it so far are ugly.
Well, they will be until we all get on the same page, so it'll probably require a lot of people having new video cards and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so they're saying, of course, if you are a Second Lifer, you need to, they've been showcasing shops that are selling mesh clothes, mesh things. They do say you need the new viewer to view and upload the meshes correctly. The old viewers will not render objects correctly when created with mesh, so they want you to check with your third-party viewers. Mesh support may vary as they release, you know, the code for them to update. So some of you won't be seeing it properly, Ginger.
That's I've seen it, and it's kind of like, no.
It don't look good. What's wrong with it? No, okay.
No, so. I'm like, that looks like a potato sack.
No, that's why. You need a new viewer. Got to go with a new viewer. Okay, so if you're not familiar with what mesh is, because I was not as techie as I am, I don't know everything. What I took a look at and found out is mesh objects are first created in external programs such as Blender or Maya, and then you import them into the Second Life grid. Once there, you can use the mesh to manipulate in pretty much any way you like. Uh-huh. So if you check the Second Life blog, and this is also good for you amateur developers. We've told you before, Second Life is pretty much a giant game engine, and it's live. So if you want to go in there and test your skills or pick up new skills, it's really helpful to go inside and play with some of the tools that they have.
There are people there who are more than willing to sit and teach you, too.
Mm-hmm. They have classes going on all day, every day. So get in there. But there's on their blog is a bunch of tutorials on how to get started building in mesh. What programs to use, because even though Blender and Maya are the standard, there are some people that are really industrious and create programs that do this just for Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they are rich, so if you know if they're single, you send them our way. But
yes.
And remember, Second Life Rich is real world rich, okay? This is not their standard MMO.
Yes.
Okay, so send them our direction if they're single. But go and check that out, especially if you have a really nice high-end video card. And, again, it's free, people. And if you want to be a developer, it's, again, free. Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing to have on your resume or pictures. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, I'm sorry, I was sitting here posting another story while you were talking. Okay, Hamilton's Great Adventure out on PlayStation Network today. Yay! All right, so Hamilton's Great Adventure is out on PlayStation Network everywhere today. Yesterday, Ernest Hamilton discovered North America, and today it's the rest of the world. Take part in an amazing journey guiding the splendorous adventure Ernest Hamilton and his brilliant Sasha as they cooperate to crack crafty conundrums and challenges. Do what it takes to help me through the toter level. Or, what? Hold on. Do you have what it takes to help me through the Coder Love? Says Ernest Hamilton, main character. All right. Okay, you Swedish people, y'all are nuts. All right, there is a trailer, and I'm trying to get it up on Game of Matrix, so if you give me a couple of minutes, I will get that up for you. But it is Hamilton's Great Adventure out on PlayStation Network today, so GameOfMatrix.com, check it out just a little bit.
All right, well, apparently it's the end of the world as we know it, or as worms know it, or rather, because worms, Carmageddon, wait a minute, let me say that right. Worms 2 Armageddon.
Did we just say we were going to make this game?
We did. Worms 2 Armageddon DLC explodes onto Xbox Live. Plus a second serving of DLC Insanity on the PlayStation Network, if you have that. So today, the Wizards of Worming Team 17 announced the arrival of new DLC for Worms 2 Armageddon on Xbox Live Arcade. The Worms 2 Armageddon Puzzle Pack is now available to download for Xbox 360 from Xbox Live Arcade, with further DLC packs also set for release over the coming weeks. The puzzle pack is crammed full of brain-teasing puzzles that will challenge even the most seasoned Worms player. But we are confident that they're up to it. This is from the lovely people over at Team 17, more specifically the head of design, John Dennis. He says, offering a mind-boggling collection of 20 single-player puzzle missions, which require the player to be as cunning as a fox. Okay, which are we, foxes or worms?
Not a clue.
Okay.
I don't think these people know either.
There's 5 brand new achievements, apparently, a new landscape theme and a selection of new puzzle-themed hats, gravestones, and speech banks. It's a real test of your skills, as well as providing more fantastic worm-based fun on 360. Fantastic worm-based fun, because it's always fantastic. They've also announced the release of Worms 2 Armageddon Time Attack Pack and the Worms 2 Armageddon Retro Pack on the PlayStation 3 Network, PlayStation Network, in here, the U.S. and Europe. So you should go by and check that out. What is it with them today where they're not giving links to stuff? So they tell me, here's a screenshot, and then when I go, there's nothing there.
I know. They're giving us just crap today. It's kind of like, really? Really, people?
Oh, well, I guess you won't have any screenshots. But if you have Xbox Live Arcade, pop on and check it out, I guess. That's the only way you're going to see it, because I don't know what they're doing here today. Maybe it's because it's Wednesday. People are just like, I don't care. Just go look at it or don't. I don't care.
They need to do something. All right. What have I got for you today? Oh, yeah, I'm not going to read that one. That would take too long. Okay. House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut refused rating in Australia.
Oh, we knew it was coming.
Australian scholars. Just because you don't give it a rating doesn't mean people aren't going to watch it. They're going to find a way. All right, so according to a report in Computer and Video Games, House of the Dead Overkill Extended Cut of the PlayStation 3 has been refused classification in Australia, even though an R18+ rating has been agreed upon in principle and will inevitably be launched in the country later this year. The Australian Classification Board updated its website this week to include a listing for the game, but noted that the version of the game was outside of the MA15+ rating given to the older Wii version. A game refused classification in Australia means it is effectively banned and not available in stores. The Wii version of the game released in 2008 and was granted an MA15+ rating in Australia. Apparently, the extended elements in Sega's updated version of the game, including 2 new scenarios, may have something to do with. The game also promises high-definition graphics and PlayStation Move support. All right, so I'm wondering what exactly is in the extended cut that they are wanting to block. I mean, it's zombies. How bad can it be?
Because it's zombies.
But it's zombies. They're not even alive.
They are alive. They are the living dead. Did you not know?
But, yeah. All right.
You'll accept that?
Australia, y'all are freaks. I love y'all, though. Love y'all.
Right. Well, one of our favorite game companies, Telltale Games, has signed a Wii publishing deal. Yeah, yes. This is a very short one, so if you don't mind, I'll jump in and give you another one right after. Apparently, Telltale Games, best known for its episodic content like the Back to the Future game, which I adore. I know we did not get to review it. Telltale Games, really do. I adore it. Just, wow, it takes a lot of time to play. They've signed a publisher licensor agreement with Nintendo. The company will publish the Back to the Future on Wii coming this October. Securing a publishing agreement with Nintendo of America ensures that we can make our popular content available on every major console platform. The signing is a significant milestone in our long-term growth strategy, episodes of Back to the Future game have achieved more than 1 million downloads on the PC, and I believe it's also on the iPad, which is where I played it. It's absolutely one of the best games on the iPad, I have to say. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I did enjoy playing it. It's kind of, you ever play the, what is it, Monkey Island?
No.
You never played the Monkey Island games?
No.
Okay, the Monkey Island games were the precursor to these stupid games where you have to find stuff in the picture. But this one, they were where whatever you found, you had to put together with something to make the game progress. Like maybe your character's car was out of gas and the tire was flat, so you had to figure out how to get the nail out and then where to get gas from and then how to change your tire. And it all worked together, and then, bam, you moved on to your next thing. So it's kind of like that.
Yeah. They are cool.
Very, very interesting. I gave a simple explanation, but those of you who like to think know that Monkey Island is much more complicated. You like need like a nail and a piece of gum and a bottle top and this type of stuff.
MacGyver.
Yeah, you have to be MacGyver. So
I love MacGyver.
The Back to the Future games, which I thought was stupid at first, stupid premise, actually turned out to be really good on the iPad, and it's kind of like that. And I think Michael J. Fox came back and did the voice for it, so it was really nice. Because I used to just love him so. I love his voice and stuff. And I would climb him, although he's not that tall. But
No, you wouldn't have fire climb, would you? He's only, what, like 5'6 or something?
He was still cute in his heyday. He was a hotness.
Yes. Oh, he's still kind of cute.
He is. Yeah, but he's 6, so I don't know if I feel guilty about climbing him. Of course, he probably would like it. But
That might make it more fun, actually.
You would. Yeah, right?
Oh, that was bad. Sorry,
no,
Michael.
No, it wasn't. That was all in love, Michael. Trust me, it was in love.
All right, so this next one's not so much in love because I can't believe this. Oh, my God. Call of Duty, y'all are such sellouts.
Oh, boo.
And I said that. Yes, I did. All right. Kanye West headlining Call of Duty XP.
Oh, come on.
Hip-hop icon to perform in front of thousands the closing night. All right, so in his first public performance since the release of his 5th number one album, the global smash Watch the Throne, Kanye West is set to close Call of Duty XP, the only full immersion fan experience for Call of Duty gamers. West will take the stage at 8 p.m. on Saturday, the 3rd of September, capping an impressive roster of firsts for casual and hardcore Call of Duty fans alike, including the world premiere of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 multiplayer, the first public hands-on with the title, the finals of the Call of Duty $1 million tournament sponsored by Xbox 360, Call of Duty-inspired live-action experiences, and much more. Call of Duty XP takes place September 2nd and 3rd, 2011, in Los Angeles, California. Eric Hirschberg, CEO of Activision Publishing, says, "We're pulling out all the stops because we're sellouts. We promise our attendees and fans around the world a once-in-a-lifetime experience for the first Call of Duty XP. So we're thrilled to have Kanye on board because, you know, he's crazy, and that's the only reason why we brought him in. Everything about XP... Sorry, I'm so totally adding my own stuff. Everything about XP will be as epic as the games themselves, whether you're competing for one of the open slots in the $1 million tournament, playing Modern Warfare 3 for the first time, dodging paintballs... All right, that sounds fun. And a spectacular life-size recreation of Modern Warfare 2's scrapyard level of just mingling... Or just mingling with developers and fellow gamers. Call of Duty XP is a celebration of one of the greatest games in the world. So what better way to top it off with one of the greatest artists in the world? Call of Duty XP will take place at the Call of Duty compound in Playa Vista, located at 5600 Campus Center Drive, Los Angeles.
I don't like that they have a compound.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. They're zombies? All right. So, yeah, they are bringing in Kanye West, and... we all know is kind of smut, and there's a name for him that I don't think I'm allowed to say on daytime air.
Here's how I feel about Kanye West, the same way I feel about Tom Cruise. I think you're both brilliant people in your line of work. Please do not speak, though. Just do what you do, and I don't want to hear you talk. I don't need you involved in my games. You stay in your lane, I'm going to stay in mine. You don't see me coming over to you.
Does he even play Call of Duty?
I would be, even though people were irritated that that Ice-T was on the stage during E3, he actually is a gamer. I watched a reality show, and in every episode, he is actually playing Gears of War. His wife is like, are you ever going to stop playing that? So I could see, I take it back what we were saying. He is a gamer. He does play. He has a special chair. I mean, he has a nice setup. I wish I had it. But I don't know that Kanye West is a gamer. I know that there's several.
He thinks he's a fashion designer and God. And
That's why I said stay in your lane. I've never seen him with a controller in his hand. And we all know the ones that are actually gamers. We know Ice-T. We know Exhibit. We know Snoop Dogg's. Well, Snoop Dogg's daughter is supposed to be. Well, I've seen her play Guitar Hero. The girl is epic. So I'm pretty sure he's got the games in his house. And we got Vin Diesel. We got even Elijah
Wood. That's so awesome. Wow. A D&D player.
He's an epic nerd, geek. So those people, so when I hear them say they're going to be on stage somewhere, I'm more excited to see them because I know if I walk up to them and I start talking games, we're going to have a conversation as opposed to Kanye's probably going to do his concert and then go.
Yes. And he's probably going to have some outrageous outburst on stage.
Oh, God. Please, people. Microsoft went on this binge a couple of years ago where they were pulling celebrities in that aren't gamers. We know a fake when we see one, and you all know they were fake when you called them up and asked them to appear at your event. Get us the real people. Those are the ones we're excited about that we love because we know they're one of us, even though they're celebrities. They're one of us.
Yes. If you have no idea what WASD or strafing is, I don't want to talk to you.
If I say up, down, left, right, left trigger, right trigger, square, triangle, yes. And you don't know what that means, you don't need to be on stage. Anyway.
Exactly.
Talking to me. Anyway. Whatever, Kanye. Good luck.
Kanye, you're nuts. Stay out of our game.
Good luck with that. All right. A woman named Miss Robin Kaminsky has dropped the gauntlet. She's the former head of Activision, and she said that some of your traditional publishers need a new console generation to remain competitive. And I think she's right. I've said the same thing. She did an interview with our favorite people over at Industry Gamers, and she said the traditional games market needs new, innovative hardware and content to grow. The question is, can publishers afford to make games in the next cycle, and can console makers afford either the R+D investment that is required to create truly innovative new hardware or the losses that accompany their launch? And she's probably referring to the 3DS. Kaminsky cites a continuing decline of physical retail sales with July, the worst month, which we told you about earlier in the week, for U.S. retail game sales since October 2006. Many believe digital sales and the economy are the core devices of the decline. She says she believes it's a lack of innovation, actual stagnation in game development that is the real culprit, and I completely wholeheartedly agree. She says the industry's biggest traditional publishers speak often about the importance of digital sales, but Kaminsky points out that even with the World of Warcraft and Call of Duty's lucrative DLC trade, Activision's digital trade only accounted for 37% of their revenue last year. She said EA has made significant investments to acquire digital scale, continues to rely on traditional game sales for the bulk of their business. Publishers need growth in console games to be successful, and those games remain primarily a retail business. John Ritiello also said that the fastest-growing platform for EA is the iPad. He said this should be a concern not only for the traditional game publishers, but for the console makers, Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo. If Apple becomes the dominant piece of game hardware, where does that leave consoles and console games? It's very interesting. Robin, of course, you can go over to gi.biz and check out the rest of this article. She makes a lot of interesting points. See, that's why sometimes you need to throw a woman in the mix. We're going to think about what she didn't. Robin served over at Activision from 2005 to 2008 and has recently joined the board at a cloud-based streaming service, Gaikai, this July. Be afraid, because if Apple steps in, oh, God. Actually, they already have stepped in. You're already in trouble. You just didn't. Let's put it to you this way. If this were Left 4 Dead, you are just outside the safe room and think you're inside. This is what's happening, and the zombies are coming for you. But you're not through the door yet. Somebody forgot to close the door.
Mm-hmm. I always forget to close the door.
Yes, that's because you're too busy stealing stuff. Ooh, look, ammo. This is what. Ooh, look, ammo. Ginger, close the door. Ooh, look, they got a shotgun. Ginger, close the door. Ginger, close the door. You close the door. Wait. They got a backpack. Ginger.
And the next thing I know, some big baddie has followed me in there, and there's nowhere to go.
You know what? I think this is the funniest thing I've had happen playing Left 4 Dead when me, you, and Z were playing, and we got in the safe room. We did shut the door for once, and there was something in there. We didn't know it. We were all over at the table going, oh, look, ammo. Oh, my God, there's something in here.
I don't know how that thing got in there either. That was...
Was it in a jockey? Because I remember it was.
Yeah, it seemed like it was a jockey, and I think Z ended up dying.
That was ugly.
Sorry.
I would like to, I think he's at school this morning. He better be. One of my cousins who came up to me this weekend and says, you know, I never got to play it, but I heard you talk about it, and I understand now. He's 15. I love Left 4 Dead. I'm going to need your gamer tag. yeah, you better be at school this morning. That's what I know. I think I'm going to be sick next week. I'm not ready to go back to school. I need more Left 4 Dead. No, no.
No, no, you better be in school. See, you got to go to school so you can get the smarts, so you know how to build bombs and
hey,
protect yourself. And all. Well, when the zombie apocalypse happens, you're going to need to know these things.
I see your point. All right, you're right.
Yeah, all that algebra, all that geometry, that's going to come in handy for building zombie traps.
I concur, because I could build some zombie traps now, and I am excellent in algebra.
Yes.
Trigonometry, bring it.
See, you're going to need all that.
Mm-hmm. Which I won't.
No. They're like, we're never going to use this. If the zombie apocalypse happens, we might.
Mm-hmm. You need to know how to take that nail, the bottle cap, and some bleach and build a bomb.
Exactly.
And it takes
exactly. Yeah, I had a physics teacher that taught us how to make bombs. That was fun.
They're not supposed to teach that in school.
We blew up all kinds of stuff. It was fun.
I know how to mix a few things together to knock people out. That's all I'm going to say.
Very nice.
You come in my house and you can get to my sword if you want to, but some stuff I know how to throw together, you won't be chasing me for long.
All right. I'm going to go back to GamePolitics.com this morning. They've pulled this from Industry Gamers. Scott Steinberg, EA's mudslinging is a smart move.
Oh.
Really, guys, are y'all going to fight this back and forth over
what? Now they're fighting over who said what.
I hate to say y'all are such girls. But
no, they're little B words.
Yes, there we go. I just didn't want to say that. All right, so EA's trash-talking to Activision about its Call of Duty franchise may be frowned upon in some circles, but Scott Steinberg of Tech Savvy Global sees it as a clever ploy on the company's part to draw attention to its Battlefield series. Kind of got a point. It reflects just how seriously Electronic Arts and Activision take the coming Clash of the Titans and how much each side has invested in the conflict's outcome. This is Steinberg was telling Industry Gamers, Modern Warfare 3 enjoys tremendous brand recognition and a massive fan following, giving it a marked advantage over Battlefield 3 at the cash register. But Battlefield 3 may very well be the more ambitious, polished, and critically acclaimed of the two titles. Moreover, each side plans to spend well into the 8 or 9 figures promoting the titles, reinforcing just how high the stakes are they're playing for. Wedbush Securities analysis Michael Pachter noted that EA may look bad, but the sassy talk is certainly garnering some interesting publicity. Marketers will tell you there's no such thing as bad publicity. Smart move and petty and unprofessional, Pachter noted, adding that Activision isn't an innocent bystander in the war of words. That's the nature of competition. Bobby was loudly trashing BF3 at E3. Not ready for consoles, 30 frames per second, da-da-da-da-da. So it's arguable that ATVI started it, and it's easier to take the high road when you're in the first place, so they are doing so now.
I don't think he came out and named them directly. People take digs at each other, obviously, but I think where EA went overboard is they named names. They went,
I got a story to tell you later. Anyways, that one's definitely going up in the column later. Steinberg says that mudslinging in the industry is not a new phenomenon. I can remember members of Ion Storm and ID Software going at it in .plan files in the late 90s. From a broader perspective, tasteful or no, the mudslinging means little from the perspective of semantics, subtly. Never been in industry strong suits as gaming. Oh my god! I just said what I think I said. All right, as gaming rivals have been hurling insults since the days of Genesis, does what Nintendo doesn't. But what such smack talk does do is galvanize attention around the coming showdown. A win-win for both sides from the perspective of pure publicity. He went on to add, whether or not that's by design or simply a natural outpouring of enthusiasm and emotional investment each publisher has invested in the projects is largely irrelevant. Regardless of your appetite for name-calling, there's no denying in the clear upsides gained via such scuffles, as these heated exchanges help keep both games in the headlines and top of mind. You know what? He's got a point.
Because, I mean, otherwise we wouldn't even know that there was a Skrulls. We all know about Elder Skrulls. Everybody's heard about Elder Skrulls. If we'd never heard about Skrulls, we wouldn't even hear about Skrulls. Except
that's
that they're
true.
In fight right now with Elder Skrulls.
That's true. That's true. So sometimes all publicity is good publicity, but...
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There is some interesting things going on. Oh, wow. Oh, that's juicy. Okay, I don't know which one to do. Ooh, Ginger, may I do two? Because these are both juicy.
You may do two.
Okay, first one, this one is short. Okay, so CVG, you guys know that? CVG, that magazine, people, that game? Yeah. Well, CVG editor Tim Ingham left Future Publishing to run Intent Media's Music Week. He joined Future Publishing in 2009 from the role of associate and online editor of MCV, another internet media publication. He will start at Music Week on October the 3rd. He says, entertainment media publications don't come much more respected than Music Week. Even more excitingly, it's a brand that carries an almighty potential, particularly online. He says, my lifelong passion for music burns brighter than ever, and I'm excited to take up such a prestigious role in the belly of the business. Ingram also contributed to Metro, the independent T3, and the Evening Standard. Yeah, this is why we don't let other people into our world, because they go off and, this is what I really want to do. If you didn't want to be in the games, you should not come. Anyway, I'm mean. Okay.
Sorry, I'm over here coughing, but yeah.
Okay, and this is juicy. This actually came out late in the day yesterday. Foursquare is looking at Facebook and dancing on their graves. VentureBeat was reporting late yesterday that while Facebook was rolling out some changes to their privacy policies yesterday, they also very quietly announced that they would be killing off their Foursquare-like Places function inside of their mobile app. The Facebook Places feature was unveiled about a year ago, and it let users check into various locations. Now, many saw this as a serious threat to other social location services like Foursquare and Gowalla because Facebook has an incredible amount of users. But by October of last year, you could already see feature wasn't catching on. Only 6% of you out there that use Facebook even use the service. I didn't know it existed, honestly. I don't like any of those anyway, but I didn't know it existed. As an alternative to the Places feature, Facebook says they will optionally add a location to status updates or pictures. But adding a location to a status is clearly not the same as checking in and getting the benefits of knowing exactly where your friends are or the people you're stalking. So really...
Yeah, I don't like that part. I don't like that feature. I've got that turned off.
I had it turned on exactly one time, and that was last year during PAX, and that's because we played a joke on all of you. I told you I was checking in somewhere, and that's not exactly where we were. And to those of you who came and fell for that joke, haha. Okay, so really, Facebook has folded the check-in the game in favor of a broad location idea that many users will also not likely try. Foursquare is very happy about this, although they declined to say anything about the death of Places. It did use the opportunity to toot its own horn. Says far from concentrating on what others are doing, we're 100% focused on continuing to build an amazing product that changes the way people experience the world around them. This is what Foursquare spokesperson told VentureBeat. The New York-based Foursquare has been on a bit of a roll with a slew of announcements the past few months. A week ago, the startup added the ability to check into events with friends. And in mid-July, it partnered with several daily deal sites to offer better deals to customers who checked in. Well, I like that idea because I'm all about some shopping. As of July, Foursquare has more than 10 million users and has had more than 500,000 businesses sign up to offer specials. The company recently raised a $50 million funding round with a valuation of $600 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. The person, the lovely Sean. Hello, Sean. We love your articles, I told him.
Yes.
He's saying he never used Places because he already had Foursquare, and he also didn't like it because people on Facebook that he didn't know well enough to share his location with, which is exactly why I don't use it. He says,
I love you people, but I don't want y'all knowing where I'm at.
Girl, I think those things should be turned on only under, they should have an emergency setting, meaning I have been kidnapped. And I got exactly 30 seconds to push this button, turn this on, and it says, help, been kidnapped. This is where I was last seen before they make me get rid of my cell phone. That's the only way, only thing I'd want. I just don't, I think the world is a scary place these days. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm going to say. because it's morning and we don't have time. Okay, so Ginger, what you got?
What have I got?
What you got?
I've got some awesomeness.
What you got?
Cyber Agents Zombie Restaurant ranked in the top 10 free games for iOS platforms in the U.S.
Wait. Zombies and restaurants together? And you
yeah.
didn't tell me about this? Okay, let me hear.
I know, right? All right, so Cyber Agent has released Zombie Restaurant on iOS devices. Zombie Restaurant is currently available on Apple Incorporated's App Store in English and Japanese. Zombie Restaurant is a restaurant management game where players must feed zombies to prevent them from overtaking the town.
I love it. I gotta
play
it.
Awesome. All right, so the game's ranked in the top 10 free games in the App Store in the U.S. market. The game utilizes Cyber Agent's proprietary get off me, fly. GameWave, social gaming platform. I've got a fly in here, and it's driving me nuts. Social gaming platform for smartphones, which will allow users to log in using Facebook Connect or Mixi Connect to interact with other players in the game. Zombie Restaurant is a smartphone application that is ideally suited to our GameWave social gaming platform for smartphones. This is coming from, I'm going to kill your name. I'm so sorry. Shinichi Saijo? President and CEO of Cyber Agent America Incorporated, with a greater focus on user interconnectivity, we aim to provide users with an unparalleled social gaming experience. Cyber Agent currently develops smartphone applications and distributes its social gaming platforms for smartphones, GameWave, along with the PC-based social game content such as Amoeba Pico, in overseas markets through its U.S. subsidiary, Cyber Agent America Incorporated. The company plans to expand its overseas business operations, releasing 8 smartphone applications for overseas markets by December 2011. All right, so again, this is free. It's called Zombie Restaurant. You feed zombies to keep them from overtaking your town. Did I mention it's free? Yeah, it's on the App Store now. Go get it.
I want to play it.
Yes, sounds cute.
I would like to play it. I like to feed zombies. Can we bash their heads in, too, after we feed them?
I don't know. That'd be awesome, though, right?
That would be scary. We scare people. All right.
Food, and then while they're distracted, you bash them in the head.
See, that's how it theoretically should go to me. I'm just, you know, but what do we know?
You keep the brain good because, you know.
Yeah, you got to have a hammer.
Yeah.
Should be part of your little waitress uniform, a hammer on the side. Sarah, would you like some coffee with that? Bam! There you go.
A kind of crushing device. You must kill the whole brain.
I think a house hammer works well. It's good for crushing skulls. Anyway, Cybergun is trying to get their toe into the gaming water. A French manufacturer, Cybergun, they manufacture toy weaponry, bought a 50% stake in War Inc., Battlezone developer of online warmongers. Sources over at GamesBeat suggest that Cybergun paid around $25 million in the deal.
Wow.
The strategic investment is a great opportunity not only for the activity of Cybergun video games, but also for the sale of retail products. Now, this is in a statement that they released. In April, Cybergun announced its shareholders had approved a merger with video game production studio Interactive Game Group. Online Warmongers is based in California and was founded in 2009 by Sergei Titov, previously of Riot Games, remember that company? And Matt Candler, who was previously the VP of Interactive with Paramount Pictures Digital Entertainment. Some
Ooh.
heavy hitters. The company is funded by Arctos Entertainment Group. War Inc. Battlezone is a third-person shooter. It was one of the free-to-play titles recently added to the Steam platform, if you want to go to Steam and check that out. Again, it is free, so why not go download?
Yeah.
Steam is free. All that good
stuff. Free.
And that one was short. You mind if I do another?
Yes, go for it.
It's some juicy news that just popped up on Eurogamer. I've
Ooh,
got
yeah?
to share. Mm.
Oh, we love some juicy news. Give us some juicy news.
Star Wars Connect has been delayed. La, 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 la. Star Wars Connect won't make its planned holiday 2011 release, Microsoft has announced. The platform holder told OXM that the game needs a little more development time before it's ready to face the public. I should say so. Microsoft and LucasArts have elected to move the launch of Kinect Star Wars beyond holiday 2011 to ensure the full potential of the title is released. This is from a spokesperson over one of the companies. Said this move applies to both the Kinect Star Wars and the standalone game and the Kinect Star Wars limited edition console. Mm-hmm. You won't be getting your console either. He says we will communicate additional timing information at a later date. Eurogamer's Christian Donlan jumped into the Terminal Reality development effort last month. He said, I'd heard the horror stories about the game's inability to interpret basic movements. Duh, we've all told you that about Kinect. Incidentally, but my demo at least held up well. And that's the end of that. I do want to share something else. Okay, do you don't watch TV. Okay, for those of you who do, there's a show that's been on TNT called Leverage. One of the guys on the show, who is incidentally very hot, his name's Hardison, played by, I can't think of his real name. Aldous Hodge. Go look him up on IMDb. Very hot, 6 foot something, gorgeous.
Sounds very hot.
But he's a geek. Last night, last night I thought this was amazing. I don't know who the writers are on the show, but one of them has to be a geek because they throw in some of the most obscure references that only a geek would get. One of them was the show is based on the premise of kind of like Ocean's 11, where they're doing cons on people, but they're the good guys. One of them involved him being an office. Working in an office or pretending to be an office employee, and he ends up getting into a discussion with one of the other women about World of Warcraft and the new expansion pack. Last night, I actually caught the episode from Sunday where they were trying to con somebody in an airport, and it turns out that somebody needed to land a plane, and he had cleared the room of all the people who actually knew how. Guess how he landed the plane? He got on the internet and downloaded the Microsoft Flight Simulator, and that's how he helped land the plane.
Very nice.
Effing awesome writers over at Leverage. You guys need to check that out. And he is, consummate geek. If you are a geek, you're going to understand everything he says, everything he does. I just love when he talks and the fact that he is good eye candy and just...
Yes.
loves me a tall, geeky boy. Anyway... It's time for a break. Ginger, hold that thought.
Oh.
Hold that thought.
No.
You have to hold it. Only for a few seconds. Can you hold it for
hopefully GLaDOS will actually let us have our break today.
Oh, well, GLaDOS was hating on us yesterday. I'm going to try this again because... All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to try this again. Okay. And you guys, no breaking up stuff. It's Wednesday. One more time. Ginger, put it down. Okay, the rest of you sit down. Breathe. Okay, we're still live, but we're going into our break. But yes, Ginger is going to tell us why we're going to our break. What's she got that's so juicy? Ginger, what you got?
I have got Kill on Sight Secret Operations.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep. All right, so the KOS Secret Operations amps up for its relaunch. Apparently it had been closed. Online PC game publisher YNK Interactive announced the relaunch of the first-person shooter KOS Secret Operations on August 24th, 2011, in the Play Rohan portal. Dave Kim, project manager of YNK Interactive, says, "We amped up everything in the game, including weapons, costumes, maps, and game interface. Gamers better start their target practice because KOS just went up a notch." Oh, that's kind of hot. All right, so on August 24th, KOS Secret Operations will be joining the popular MMO titles Rohan, Blood Feud, Still Online, Eternal Destiny, and Hellgate in the newly released Play Rohan portal. All games can be accessed through the same website and will use the same currency for the player's convenience. All past KOS players will be able to transfer the old currency to the new ones, which are now Rohan points. KOS Secret Operations is a fast-paced competitive game built with the Source Engine. It's a free FPS with the option to purchase cosmetic and utility items to enhance firefights. The relaunch of KOS Secret Operations includes new weapons, gear, and modes with an addition of a brand new minigame on the web where gamers can receive in-game items. The newly added features, Steam's popping up. Stop that. All right, the newly added features aid players in conquering added maps with combat modes like Ghost Hunter and Free For All, and recon modes like Infiltration and Meltdown. Many events are in schedule with the opening, with the reopening, including a top 10 ranker contest and a special amped package for the first 1,000 players that log in at launch. All RPs through PlaySpan in the month of August 10th. Through the month of August, get a 10% bonus with the coupon code NEWPORTAL. All right, so if you want to register or you want to check out some details, you can head over to playrohan.com. If you didn't get that code and all that fun stuff, go over to gamingatrix.com. Right now, I've already got this listed. You can check it out. I've got some screenshots. And you can see whether or not you want to play. Gamingatrix.com. Go.
And I'm talking muted. Okay. Well, I was going to tell you we have your first look at some of the Skyrim character creation. However,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, however, these screenshots are effing massive. So you'll get them. It'll just be a few hours, literally. If you are up in Seattle, you can probably drop by the booth. They're saying they'll let you touch it.
I don't know why they make... Oh, wait. What are we touching?
Skyrim, Elder Scrolls.
Not bad.
Stop it, Ginger.
I'm not bad. I'm pixelated that way.
Oh, Lord. Lord. She made me go southern there for a minute. Oh, Lord. Okay. What's today's date? I don't know. I can't breathe. Ginger's bad. Okay, so interesting things going on. I'm like, which one do I do? Because they're both juicy. So, we got time. Because Ginger and I are good that way today. All right, first of all, well, if Ginger doesn't mind, I was supposed to do two earlier. I'm going to do it now. Ha, Ginger.
Okay,
so apparently Apple, who is picking fights with everybody, scores another patent win. Yes. Apple's long-running patent war with Samsung has led to another casualty. A Netherlands judge, according to VentureBeat, issued a Europe-wide preliminary injunction against Samsung Galaxy S, Galaxy S2, and Ace phones, which would effectively ban the sales of the phones, reports the FOSS patents. The judge found that Samsung's phones violated Apple's European software patent 2000-059-868. Which has to do, and yes, that is the real patent number, which has to do with scrolling in mobile photo galleries. Oh, God. Apple, really?
Really, people?
The sales ban will take effect on October 13th, which gives Samsung time to update its software so that it's no longer infringing on Apple's patent. FOSS patent Florian Mueller points out that this particular victory is a major blow to Android. In all likelihood, the winning patent is infringed by Android itself, probably not the operating system per se, but by one or more of the applications that ship with Android without the usefulness of Android would be impaired in one particular area, photo viewing. Apple now has the first enforceable court decision in its hand out of many lawsuits going on around the world that finds Android to infringe on an Apple patent. Even though the ruling is technically Europe-wide, it is only enforceable in countries where the above patent is valid. Mueller notes that Apple failed to follow through with its patent application in a number of countries, including Italy, Greece, and Spain. Additionally, the ruling only affects three Samsung subsidiaries registered within the Netherlands. That could still cause a headache for Samsung, since the company uses the Netherlands as its primary hub for European logistics. The news follows earlier patent wins by Apple, including the halt of the Galaxy Tab sales in Australia and Europe. The latter was eventually reversed, of course. Apple's legal squabbles with Samsung begin in April with a U.S. lawsuit over the company's Galaxy Android smartphones and tablets. Apple argued that Samsung's devices slavishly imitated its iPhone and iPad. Wow. Samsung filed a countersuit against Apple, but Apple escalated the dispute even further by filing a lawsuit in South Korea. Samsung's home country will bring it to you. So, wow. Apple, petty.
Yes, Apple, you're nuts. You're not stopping big bullies.
Petty. You're stepping into the console people. You know what's funny? They're probably going to try to go after Nintendo when Nintendo releases the Wii U. Watch and see what I tell you. Your thing looks too much like an iPad. And Nintendo's going to be like, oh, really? You really want to mess with us, Apple? You really want to go there?
Wow.
I see the muscle flexing going on. Okay, so here's my second one. This is not really juicy, more annoying to me, because I don't do these types of public outings that often, because I love y'all, but I can't be in crowded areas, so I think maybe I'm developing a phobia. But those of you who love going to concerts, football games, sporting events, monster truck rallies, whatever your thing is, Facebook and Ticketmaster are teaming up to make it easier to coordinate.
It's the two devils of the apocalypse.
Ticketmaster's new interactive.
It's an abomination.
Yes, it is an abomination. I'm definitely not going anywhere now. There's a group of y'all sitting together. Oh, hell no. Ticketmaster's new interactive seat maps will integrate with Facebook so you can tag yourself in your own seat and find out where your friends are sitting and even see non-friend Facebook users who will be at the same event. This is not good. However, the feature only works if the user in question elects to tag him or herself in the seat map. When you're deciding to tag yourself, you have the option of selecting who gets to see you in the seat map. You can set maps to show just your friends, everyone, or even no one. Same privacy settings you would use in any Facebook update. There is a video on YouTube that shows how it works, which I will add by the time you hear this. We'll have added to the lineup. Ticketmaster sales executive Kip Levin wrote on the company blog, when Ticketmaster started rolling out interactive seat maps, people were buying tickets they could not have otherwise purchased because they could select seats near friends or family were already sitting, which got us thinking, that must take a fair amount of coordination. How can we make it easier? Levin also stated that 3/4 of Ticketmaster visitors were signing in with Facebook, which made the integration an obvious choice. Social ticketing options have abounded in recent years and months, and startups have been bringing the heat in this category. Young companies including Ticketfly and SeatGeek have also been setting themselves up to compete with Ticketmaster, particularly on the social and mobile fronts. So this came because you were getting your ass kicked, is what we're saying, by these young companies. Dude. Anyway, we'll have that video up. I don't particularly like this feature. Sometimes I don't want my family sitting near me. I love them, but don't sit by me. You talk too much.
Yes. No, I like y'all. For the most part.
I love you. Don't sit next to me.
No. And y'all are loud. Y'all are all over the place. No.
Well, here's my irritation. I'm one of those people, when I go to a concert, I paid my $40, $50, $60. I am dancing in the aisle down near the concession stand. And I have this family that's very snooty. Oh, we don't dance. Well, then you sit over there, and I'm going to sit with the people that's dancing. Because that's,
yes.
I paid for the full experience, not to sit and watch the concert. So, yes. Yeah. But this is going to lead to some stalking. I am telling you.
No. Don't need help with that.
I could present a whole scenario that would scare the hell out of some people. And I will. I'll write it. Put it up on the site.
And people don't think about this. I'll be playing games with people, and people, for some odd reason, like to tell me things. And after a while, you know, after a week or two, I've got enough stuff that when they, you know, they'll annoy me or something, I'll be like, do you realize how much you told me? And then I'll start rattling back everything they've told me and tell them, you know, from this, this, and this, you can connect the dots that you're here, that you do this, you know. Mm-hmm. I can find you on Facebook, MySpace, whatever. I know who you are. I know what your kids look like. Don't share so much.
For some reason, the newer generation does not understand the concept of internet safety, even in games, that you don't tell people real information. I talk to people in games all the time. Every bit of information I give them is false. Some mixed in with the truth, but trust me, they're not finding me. They're not going to figure out who I am. I come up with a story before I ever set foot. Before I make a new Abby, I don't care what game it is, whether it's Second Life or whether it's Fallen Earth, I have a whole background. Now, if you know who we are in game, it's because we want you to know.
Yeah.
But anybody else?
I'll tell you. Ginger Ghost Star, come find me. I don't care.
Yeah. I have my Corey Mills. Feel free to find me. And I have another one I kind of share with y'all every now and again. But I got 6 or 7 others. You will never know.
Mm-hmm.
Not ever.
No, but that was like a friend of mine messaged me from some kind of phone app into Second Life.
Mm.
And it shows their email, which has their real name on it.
Oh, Jesus.
Which then I was like, you know, I could just Google you, right? I've got a fair idea of where you live within, you know,
a few
states.
Not even just
states. It wouldn't be that hard.
I'm not going to tell people how, because some of you are like, how do I find people? But if you ever send somebody your email address, I don't care if it's a newly created one, there is a way to pinpoint you within a couple of blocks of your house. And don't tell me, oh, I have Comcast, oh, I have this, I'm safe. No, you're not.
No, I don't.
No, you're not. Even your cell phone number, people that know the right places to look, again, can pinpoint your house exactly where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So you all need to be very careful about the information you share with people you don't really know. Just because they gave you some in-game money does not make them your friend.
Exactly. And, yeah, I have the hardest time convincing people that. All right, so back to some news real quick before we go. Atari lawyers take aim at retro community developers.
Oh, Lord, I saw that.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com because I love them. According to two reports, one on Atari User and another on 8-Bit Rocket, lawyers representing Atari are taking aim at the retro Atari community. The most recent actions on Atari's part include sending a cease and desist letter to Atari2600.org, a website that has been registered by Andrew Davey since 2000. For more than a decade, Davey has used his site to highlight his non-commercial programming efforts in the classic Atari 2600 console. Davey told Atari User that he received a cease and desist letter signed by Atari's SVP and general counsel, Kristen Keller. The letter demanded that Davey begin making arrangements to hand over his website, Atari2600.org, to them, claiming that because the domain name contains the Atari brand, Atari, in its entirety, they have legal right to it. Davey says that he is disappointed with Atari's approach to the situation and is considering his position. Clearly, if Davey has owned and operated his site for more than 10 years, Atari may have a hard time taking possession of it. Atari also recently went after Starsoft Berlin, another hobbyist site that creates and promotes demos for the Atari platform. While the Atari 8-bit enthusiast community doesn't know what Atari is up to with all these lawsuits, some are suggesting that the company is simply cleaning out the barn before bringing many of its classic franchises to new platforms such as mobile devices and social networks.
Oh, Jesus.
Really, Atari? Your games are so old, I'm surprised most of them even exist nowadays. You should be happy that there are people that are even out there remembering who you are.
I think Atari needs to go over to him and get this guy on board. He's already got a following. Why do people not understand when you attack the people that have, they've already done something with your game that the gamers get a little bit irritated? Just go in and say, hey, dude, look, we're going to hire you. We're going to pay you. You're going to continue running the site. We're going to give you a little bit of a staff, but you're going to be under our thumb. You're going to do what we say now. Good for you? Yay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. Oh, Ginger. Did somebody mash you in the head, girl?
No. Stupid fly. Drive me nuts.
That is absolutely adorable.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The little squeak she did, it was so girly.
It's just you.
I can tease you. I'm girly, too. I was screaming the other day while I was stepping on our Texas cockroaches. I was actually screaming, and stepping
girl,
on him at the same time.
There was a wolf spider in my laundry room the other day, as big as my fist. I am not even kidding.
Ooh.
Yeah, that thing stayed there until I could get somebody over here to come kill it. I was like, you know, I even thought about using wasp spray, but that thing was big enough it could probably chase me through the house and caught up with me.
Look here. Do you have 409?
409? Might.
409 kills anything.
I will have to try that because this thing was massive and it was right in front of my washer and dryer and I was like, I can't do laundry. There's a spider in there.
I'm just telling you, 409 kills anything. Oh, quickly before we go because this just came in my mailbox. EVE Online. All right. Apparently they have a Evelopedia. Several tables are breaking down how various groups weighed in with priorities. They have a crowdsourcing page. I'm just giving you the rundown. Go check that out at EVE Online if you play the game. EVEonline.com. And they are, of course, out at PAX. If you are at PAX and you're listening, can you please go by the booth and say hello to the lovely Victoria for me and tell her I am missing her this year and I am not there. I'm not ignoring her. That is my buddy. We've been knowing each other since NCSoft, way back in the day when they made that game, the one with the cars. I can't remember the name of right now. And we also City of Heroes, and that is my homie. She takes care of me when I'm at PAX. Her feeds me and stuff. Because, I get sick. There's so much junk at PAX. Anyway, we are out of here. Leroy, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're not going to get out alive. See you guys early tomorrow.
no time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you.
Ginger.
Later, boys and girls.